to be attentive. You got to be ready in season and out, or the devil could come by and kick your butt. Hello. Turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. It's just for you. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Keep going. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy as a payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Now, I want you to understand something. He's talking about pouring out his spirit. That's pouring out the oil. What fuels the fire is the oil. Without the oil, there's no fire. Are you hearing me? So when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the next step was to get some oil. Hello. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit in what? Fire. So you get the oil, then you get the fire. Are you hearing me? Now, in this is why we got to keep staying filled with the oil so the fire keeps burning. And he says that, listen, before the great and awesome day of the Lord, which is the day of the Lord, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. In other words, everyone's going to have an opportunity. Everybody's going to have an opportunity. And there's something very powerful. He says that they'll dream dreams and they'll have visions. And, you know, you talk to many people right now, they're having dreams and visions all over the place. And what are these dreams and visions? Things that are coming to pass. The dreams and visions come to tell us because God speaks. The Holy Spirit languages dreams and visions. Not only tongues, but dreams and visions. And he'll speak to us in many ways in that area. But we've got to be sensitive enough. We've got to be discerning enough. Right now, to be able to not miss what God is doing. Because the devil is trying to distract many individuals. He's trying to distract everybody if he can. What? From missing what God's trying to say. Are you hearing? And then he goes on and he says, listen, as I'm pouring out, now listen, I want you to tell you, I'll tell you something. So he's talking about, I just fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost. Then he's going to what? Gather, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Are you hearing? Then he's going to bring judgment, which is the Feast of Atonement. And then he's going to set up his kingdom, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the rest of the three feasts that have to be fulfilled. And we've been talking about the feast, but I'm not going to get into the feast tonight. I want to share with you some things that we're getting up to in this arena. Okay, listen. And the pouring out of the oil, God says, I'll speak, you'll have dreams and visions, and I want to share something with you. And you've heard this before, but you know, so many times that we don't get the in-depthness of what God is trying to say until we hear it more than once. And sometimes we don't even understand the fullness of a dream until it's 10 or 15 years later. You know? Now, I want to tell you about a dream because after my visitation from the Lord, I had some very, very powerful dreams, and nightly he was taking me and I was seeing things, and I didn't understand the fullness of them until they began to unfold bit by bit by bit. And one of the dreams I want to tell you about, well, there's two dreams I want to tell you about, but one was more recent. And on October 12th in the year 2000, the USS Cole was attacked by Al-Qaeda. And it was in a port in Aden. And the Sudanese people were there, supposed to be governing all of this. And they come to find out later that they allowed this to happen, that the terrorists loaded up a small boat, which looked like a tugboat or some kind of assistance boat. And it came up to the naval ship, and they were waving to all the guys in the Navy while the boat was being fueled. And in this, as they got closer and closer, because at that period of time, their status was they couldn't shoot on anyone unless they were shot upon. So if that was not in effect at that time, we wouldn't have lost 17 soldiers. But anyways, this boat got closer and closer, and these were just suicide bombers. As that little boat got closer and closer, it blew a 40 by 60 foot hole in the side of the boat. And it began to sink, and like I said, 17 soldiers, I believe, were killed, and 40 or 50 of them were wounded and so forth. And that happened in the year of 2000 in October. And about 6 months prior to that, I saw it happen. And in the dream, I was on a horse. And I was riding on the ocean, and I was headed toward the Gulf in the Middle East. And I saw the ship that had a hole in the side of it. And it was though that me and the horse were being directed by the Lord. I know it sounds kind of strange, but me and the horse rode over on the water to this big hole in the side of this naval ship and began to beat and hit against the naval ship and close up the hole so it wouldn't sink. And after we closed it up, we went back out and we started riding down the ocean. And the voice of the Lord came to me and he said, "Guy." And I said, "Yes, Lord." And he said, "Will you die for me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And the horse took off. Bam! And it went between two destroyers. I knew we were headed for the Gulf. And it began to rain oil. I mean, it was storming oil. And I began to suffocate because of the oil. And I woke up. I thought, wow. And I didn't fully understand it. And then when this occurred about 6 months later, I thought, wow, you showed me that. What's this leading to? What's happening with this? And I didn't realize that he was telling me about an oil storm. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about tonight, is called the oil storm. And in this, you know, we had Desert Storm. And you remember we had the Desert Storm. And everything was associated with the desert. Even Moses was in the desert. The Jews were wilderness in the desert. But see, now the desert's been fertilized. Now it's been brought fruitful. There is no more Desert Storm because we're in a new season and in a whole different realm now. Now there's an area of prosperity and we are in an oil storm right now. There is no more Desert Storms left. There are oil storms. And we are in the greatest oil storm that's going to bring us all the way home. Now, God always counterattacks when the enemy attacks. He pours out more of his spirit so you can overcome anything that the enemy's coming against. Are you hearing me? Now, I want to share with you about another dream. Now, this dream was about 3 days, three or four or five days after my visitation from the Lord. And in this dream, I was, all of a sudden I was, I don't know how it happened, but I was on a wave. And this wave was taking me. It came and took me off of a bridge that was busted. And there was a river that was going underneath the bridge, and it was a big, big river and a big bridge. I mean, we were up there. And the bridge was busted. The whole other side was busted away. And only the side I was on was there. And cars were falling off, and people were falling off the bridge into this river. And all of a sudden, this huge wave didn't come from the river. It came from where the bridge was crossing the river from behind me. This huge wave came and took me and picked me up. And we began to go higher and higher and higher to where we were in the clouds. And I could actually taste the clouds in my mouth. And he began to take me. I didn't know where he was taking me. And we kept traveling. I mean, I'm still cruising on this wave. I mean, it just took me. And I'm on this wave, and it took me. Kept going, kept going, kept going, kept going. I'm thinking, where are we going, Lord? I thought he was taking me to heaven. I thought there'd be better transportation than a wave, my praise God. And the next thing I know, I go above the clouds, and we're going. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, man, I'm still on this wave above the clouds. And the wave starts coming down now. And we go back into the clouds, and I can taste the clouds, and I'm waiting for the clearing. And we're going through these clouds, and all of a sudden it starts to slow down. And, man, I as it starts coming down, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to slide off this wave, you know. And my stomach starts going, whoa. And I kept going, no, I'm in the hands of God. No, I'm in the hands of God. I'm not going to fall off this wave. And we began to get closer and closer and closer. And the next thing I know, we land on the ocean. And as I was getting closer to the ocean, I saw two continents. And in between these two continents was a stainless steel tube connecting these two continents. And I realized it was Alaska and the United States. You know, you go through Alaska, you go all the way up to wherever, you know. And so as we got closer and closer and we landed, and he set me down gently, there was a submarine right next to the oil. I mean, it was parallel with the oil pipe. And I realized, I thought, man, I've seen that kind of sub before. And so I had a choice of what land to walk to. And I realized this one on my left was United States, and the other one was Alaska, leading to all the other continents. And so I went to United States, and I began to walk in the water to United States, and I remember this black sub that was there. And when I was in the military, I used to go on a sub and repair some of the computers every once in a while. Oh, not in the military. This was here. I'm sorry. When I was in the military, I flew over many subs. I used to fly search and rescue. But when I was here in Florida, I went on a submarine called the Ohio to repair a computer because I used to work for a computer outfit. So that sub was familiar to me. So I began to walk over to United States. And when I got on the continent, all the houses, they seemed the same where I was at. You know, they seemed like beach houses everywhere, you know. And I kept calling out to people, and nobody was there. So I figured, well, maybe they're in the house. And I went into the house. And when I went to the front door, I looked. I said, man, did you ever see a lock on a luggage, piece of luggage, a little dinky lock, you know? Well, that was what was on the houses. And I pulled it off. And I went, and I couldn't find anybody. I didn't see any furniture. I didn't see nobody. I didn't see anything. I couldn't tell what was going on. And I woke up. And I realized after years, and then something happened where I was able to get with somebody else and we discussed more because they had visitations and so forth. And I realized that that submarine was a Russian sub. Now, about 4 months later, a Russian sub started on fire in the Key West. And it was loaded with nukes. And it surfaced. And everybody was going, how did that sub get there? So we had to actually help it and get it out so it wouldn't hurt any of the places in the coral in the Key West. So we had to help it out and whatever. So it had to surface, and I thought, man. So the Lord gave me confirmation about what that sub was. And he began to share with me about all the things with Russia and what's going on and about how they're behind all the terrorists and that they're fake and liars. In every area in front. And how many Russian people are in this United States that are Americans but have been born here and their whole focus is to bring down the United States. And I looked and I said, Lord, what about this here United States with these locks? And he said, that's the security of this country. The size of a lock of a suitcase. And at that time, Clinton administration was in. And the purpose of Clinton's administration was to disarm us militarily and disarm us spiritually. And they succeeded for 8 years. Come on, you have to think about it. Here was a president that got caught fornicating in his presidential office. And in global TV lied to everybody. And he was still reelected. Something ain't right with this country. It's called deception. And that continued on. So when the administration of Bush came in and their administration, they had to not only see, because the powers of darkness knew. Now I want you to understand these things, because that administration of Clinton was a pawn of darkness to disarm this country. Then we have the next administration get in, and what happens? We get hit with 9/11. I mean, just about off the bat. Why? Because darkness knew that we are at our lowest level of military, lowest level of spirituality. They knew, and they attacked. So here we have the administration now that has been trying to rebuild, not only militarily, but bring back spirituality, the true spiritual warfare. Because so many bases were brought down, and then so many things, and they were passing laws and promoting, you know, all kinds of abortion, and they weren't coming against the things in Clinton's administration that they should have been coming against. Of course, we had a fornicator in office, an adulterer, and a liar. Well, it sounds like offspring of Satan. Are you hearing? So from that point on, we've been trying to rebuild everything. God's been trying to rebuild everything for America to get strong again. Now, I began to connect the two dreams. And the common in both of those dreams was the oil. Are you hearing me? Was the what? The oil. You got to begin to understand about the oil. Because whoever owns the oil rules the world. Okay? And in this, there is a fight. Why do you think one part doesn't want to drill offshore? I mean, think about it. They don't even know that they are pawns of darkness. Now, I'm not interested in politics. You understand that? I could care less. But I'm sharing with you the light and the dark. What's running the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And you can tell by the fruit. And there is a great fight going on. Not only here physically in the natural realm, but spiritually. Because what you see in the physical realm is manifesting in the spiritual realm. Is everybody okay? Are you up to date now? Okay, now remember, this is really important. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. So he deceives, doesn't he? Now, he has brought this country into addiction. It's called oil addiction. This country is addicted to oil because it's addicted to power and it's addicted to greed. And Satan loves to bring bondage, doesn't he? That's his job. And Satan's weapon is deception and his power is fear, isn't it? So now this country is operating in fear. They don't know what to do. They can't trust nobody. Even in government, people are getting snagged doing this, that, and whatever. People who said that they were going to do this are not doing that. I mean, there's all kinds of corruption in our own government. But I'm telling you, there's a government that's coming that's not corrupt at all. And it'll expose every corruptible thing that there is. But in the meantime, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll go there. Praise you, Lord. In verse 7, it says what? For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but power, love, and sound mind. I want you to understand that when fear is activated, power is negated, sound mind is negated, and love is negated. See, so fear will outpower love, sound mind, and power. Do you understand that? See, so the devil is operating on power. Why? So he can shut everything else down. This country right now is operating on fear. So there's not unity. There's nothing but division. And when I began to review and speak to the Lord about the dreams that I had, I realized that when he said to me, "Will you die for me?" He was talking about United States. Will they die for him? And I realized the security of the United States was nothing but the size of a luggage lock, which was zip. Now, America has been invaded by alien forces of darkness. Big time. Deceiving the people, removing moral ethics that the world attributes to the fear of God. The United States has lost the fear of God. In fact, there's much of the body of Christ that has lost the fear of God. They've got into programming. They've got into tradition. And all kinds of other garbage where there's much division. And God is restoring his fear, his reverence, and he's doing that through the oil. Are you hearing? Through what? The oil. I mean, you think about the Statue of Liberty out there, right? Well, the Statue of Liberty means freedom. So the Statue of Liberty was put in this country because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. But it's supposed to be freedom to worship the King. Freedom to express your faith. It's been slowly interfered and shut down. The Ten Commandments being brought forth out of the public places, and prayer taken out of schools, even out of the courtrooms. I mean, there are judges that have lost their jobs because they refused to take the Ten Commandments out. And they have been fired and removed from their position. So we know that right now, there is a great, tremendous fight. This country right now is hated by the world. And so is Israel. They're hated by the world. It's Satan's attack on the righteousness of God. It's his attack on the righteousness of God. When we took Iraq, which we did take Iraq, the problem is then they began to have to please man. And there was so much fight about Iraq. You got to understand, Iraq is a place of Babylon. All that whole area is oil control. So we stepped in and took a position, one of Satan's lords, and put our own people in there and took. Are you hearing? Now they're giving it back again because they're trying to please man. They're trying to get into politics. They're trying to get reelected. So now they're going back pleasing man again. And we're supposed to be setting up a military base there in preparation for what's coming. But the devil's trying to prevent it. Why? Because it's all over oil. Whoever controls the oil controls the world. And that's what they look at. Are you hearing? So we're in an oil storm right now. But see, that's why God is pouring out His Spirit. Because we are in an oil storm. That's the oil that God has given us so that we can stay fueled. Stay on fire. And it's so important. You're going to find many things begin to expose. And many things that people have built begin to get destroyed. Because it's going to burn up. Would you turn to Matthew 4? Matthew 4, are y'all there? In verse 8, would you say, read it with me? Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. What did he show him? Everything he had. He said, man, this is mine. Come on, you got to understand, he took God up on a mountain and said, you know, this is mine. That's, I mean, the Lord is so cool, you know? He's like, yeah, okay. he took, God allowed Satan to put him up on this high mountain pinnacle or whatever and say, hey, man, hey, God, this is mine. Spirit of immaturity, huh? Mine. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. What an idiot. I mean, think about it. Talk about this. Well, he's the head dude of deception, so he has to be deceived most of everybody, right? And Jesus said to him, away with you. In other words, that's enough before I cook you. In other words, don't tempt me to move out of time. You're going to cook, but I don't want to cook you today because I got to fulfill the word. But don't tempt me. I'll do it with you. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Satan had no idea that Jesus was talking about him. You shall worship the Lord your God. Yo, idiot. See, but Satan's whole boasting and pride was how much he had. You must remember that he was God's right-hand man. He was known as Lucifer. And he was dressed with all the jewels of the world, of the earth. All the precious jewels. He was a praise and worship leader of the universe. He was beautiful. And he was the highest of all wisdom of all God's creations. And he rebelled against God. And he exalted himself above God. That wasn't too wise, was it? His wisdom brought him pride. And the Lord threw him out threw him out of his presence. So you got to understand something, that because of this, and then he became the serpent, and he was known as Satan, the devil, and so forth. Everybody calls him all kinds of names. See, so Satan, then when God created man, Satan deceived man and took rule again. Are you hearing? So now he was able to say, hey, I got it. I had it once. I exalted myself above God. He threw me out, but I'm back. Are you hearing? I'm back. And I own all of this. Think about how many times people just rely on materialism. Do you understand? That's why when we were the offsprings of darkness, we acted just like him. That's called self. So we know that Satan is the ruler of this earth, isn't he? But God is the owner. There's a difference. Eventually his lease will be up. John 12. John chapter 12. Oil storm. It's oil war. We're in a war over oil. That's what everything's about right now, isn't it? Think about it. Everything's about the oil, and God's pouring out his oil. In John 12 and verse 27, and Jesus said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So you got to understand, the ruler was cast out. So those under Christ's rule would have dominion over the rule of the world. Are you understanding me? So in other words, we have now dominion over the ruler of this earth. He has been disarmed over you. The only reason why he gets into people's lives is because they let him. See, you can speak the blood of Jesus all day long. The blood does not protect unrighteousness. It protects righteousness. Are you hearing me? So I don't care how many times you apply the blood, it will never protect unrighteousness. It only protects righteousness. Think about it. In the Old Testament, when the Lord said, put the blood on the lintels of the door, right? And the spirit of death will come through. And though that places that he sees the blood, he won't go in and kill the firstborn. So if you're outside of the door hanging out and you're not in, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die. You understand? So they had to be obedient. You understand that? If they worked late and they didn't make it home, they were cooked. So the ruler was being cast. I'll go to verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And that's what's happening now. Many people are walking in darkness. There are even believers that are walking in darkness. They're like the blind leading the blind. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So we see that the ruler of this world is who? Satan. And he was cast out through Jesus' death. Out of position. Out of authority. Are you hearing me? Not that he's still not the ruler of the earth. He's the ruler of those who are in the world. That's why the Bible says come out of the world. Are you hearing? Okay. Cool. Go to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, would you read it with me? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Okay, let's forget everybody else. Who do you say that I am? Do you really know me? Do you know me? Or are you going by what other people say? Do you know me? Are you hearing? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Christ. Now I want you to understand something. The Christ, the anointed one, the oil of God, the holy oil himself, the presence of God Almighty. Are you hearing? Because the anointing means to what? Rub. Jesus was the holy oil of God Almighty. He was the light. What keeps the light burning? Oil. Think about this. In the book of Revelation, it says, and Paul said, "I was in the spirit today and I saw the Lord." And he had woolly hair and what? Fiery eyes. Why do you have fiery eyes? Think about it. Because he's the oil of God. He's the fire of God. He is God. He was revealing himself. So he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you know me. And because you know that I am the anointed one with his anointing, and no flesh and blood has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven, I'm going to call you the rock. I'm going to, on this rock, on this revelation." He says, "And I also say to you that you are what? Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." What's he talking about? A rock is a set of foundation. He said, "On the anointing I'll build my church. On the oil I'll build my church." Are you hearing? On the anointing, on my presence is what I'm going to build my church. No longer on the letter, but on the spirit, because the letter kills and the spirit brings life. No longer will I build my church and by reading about me, but I'll build my church by you knowing me. And then he says something very powerful. He says, "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In other words, the powers of darkness cannot overcome the anointing. In other words, I want you to understand this, and we've shared this before. The Father acknowledges the blood. So when there's righteousness and the blood is activated, the Father acknowledges it and he slaps the powers of darkness away. But the demons acknowledge the anointing. They see the oil. They see the anointing in you. When Jesus got out of the boat, what did they start doing? He stepped on the land, and these demons were there going, "What have they got to do with you, Son of God, Son of David? It ain't our time yet, man. You coming to throw us in the fire in the pit? Hey, well, hold on a second." Why? They saw the anointing. Jesus didn't say a word. He just got out of the boat. He got out of the boat, and they all started freaking out. Where are we going to go? Go to the pigs. Varmint. That's why Jews don't eat pork. Get your porky. Now, I want you to understand something. So he says, "And because you know that I am the Christ," here's my anointing. See, so now what has he done? He's given you dominion through the oil. He's given you dominion through the anointing. What? Over darkness. You are no longer under the rule of Satan. You are under the rule of Christ. You are a slave of Christ now. You are no longer a slave of sin, unless you want to be. You are no longer a slave of darkness. You are a slave of Christ. And so we have dominion over all things now. But I want you to understand something. This is where the fight is. It's the oil against the oil. Are you getting it? This is the season we're in. But see, the Lord says that we're in a new season with power and prosperity. Why? Because he's pouring out his oil. It's an oil storm right now. It's not a holy war, it's an oil war. It's all about money for the kingdom of darkness, and it's all about souls for the kingdom of light. So he gives us dominion. That's why he says in Mark 16 through 18, he says, "And in my name you will what? Cast out devils." But those devils ain't going without the oil. You can have all the letter you want, and that devil will get up and kick your butt. And in my name you will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. That means you're going to be baptized with oil and lit on fire. And that's what God is doing right now. Why? So we're combating the powers of darkness. There's an oil fight. There's an oil storm. Big time. And the enemy's doing everything he can to control the oil. Because if he controls the oil, he can try and control the world. Has everybody got it? Oh. See, wealth produces power according to the worldly way. Wealth produces power. That's why people are willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, they got TV programs where people are willing to look like idiots to get paid for it. I just should video one of their programs and send it in for the most funniest flick around. But it'd probably be copyright, so it wouldn't be right. Go to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Everybody all right? Are you beginning to see what's going on right now? We're going to lead to something here, so hang tough. Acts 8. Go to verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. I love this because so many people think once I get baptized in water, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that is incorrect. When you ask somebody if they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if they say, "I don't know," they haven't. I go to people, "You pray in the Spirit?" "Yeah." "Our Father who art in heaven." I said, "No, man, you pray in the Holy Spirit? Our Father." "No, do you pray in the Spirit?" "Shuramakaya kaya kotaya." You know? Did you read the scripture, Mark 16? "In my name they'll cast out devils and speak with new tongues." No, I guess I don't. "Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost?" "Yeah." "You idiot. Didn't you just hear me?" I'm telling you, I come across so many religious people that don't get it. They just don't get it. And it's because of the deception of the devil. Are you hearing? Okay. So we got here Simon, who's been doing all his witchcraft, right? And in verse 17, he said, "Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Saying, "Give me this power also. That anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Ghost." Boy, Peter rebuked him big time. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Ooh, man, he got rebuked head to toe. And Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." You know, he got woke up, man. He got a revelation. Money ain't going to do it. It's called relationship that does it. Now, you know, you think about it. Isn't that Satan's kingdom? Trying to buy? Why? Because they use wealth as power. Wealth as power. Wealth as power. Didn't he tempt Jesus? Hey, look, you see all what I got. Just worship me. You can have it. He lied to him anyways. Jesus said, I ain't got to worship nothing. I own it already. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. And verse 20, please. Let's read it together. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Oh, is that beautiful? There's what? Oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man squanders it. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So we see here he talks about wise, you know. The wise man is the dwelling of oil. You know, one of the things that we must be able to do is outwit darkness. The Bible says be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. That's why God is pouring out his wisdom also to each and every one of us. The sevenfold of the Holy Spirit, which is a part of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Might and reverence and strength, the Spirit of the Lord. You understand? The sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. He's given to me and you. All the attributes of the Holy Spirit is given to us when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But the whole thing is if you're not accessing what God has for you, if you're not utilizing it, you're slowly being deceived. And Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Most people don't even know who they are. They look in the mirror and think that's who they are. That's not who you are in the mirror. Thank God. And if I had to do that, I'd have to take every mirror out of my house. You're not who you are in the mirror. Are you hearing me? That's just a suit you got to have to hang out in this realm. I know we'd like to send it out to the cleaners, you know. Maybe get a little pressed. Go ahead, you can shrink it for a while. You know, get some of those wrinkles out and stuff, you know. But it don't work that way. Unfortunately, you have to put up with it. But praise God, it's coming off soon. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Remember, it's the fight over the oil, not the flesh, right? This is so powerful because we've talked about how that this scripture is being fulfilled even now. And it'll continue to be fulfilled till we go home. In Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the Lord or the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Here we go again. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, no way, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. In other words, go get it yourself. I had to get mine. You go get yours. And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut, and afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The wise and the foolish virgins. Now, you got to understand this. The wise virgins maintain the oil of the Lord. The foolish virgins were concerned with the oil of the world. Are you hearing? Why? Because it had to do with wealth, prosperity, self. Because if their eyes were in the right place, they'd have been more concerned about the oil of the Lord instead of the oil of the world. Are you hearing? Now, I'm not just talking about the oil, you know, the liquid stuff. I'm talking about the green stuff. I'm talking about the self stuff, the things that maintain self. So I'm going to share with you that's considered the oil of the world. Are you hearing? So there's the oil of the world and there's the oil of the Lord, which is two separate things. So the five wise ones were concerned with the oil of the Lord. The foolish ones were more concerned with the oil of the world. Are you got it? And they missed God. Now, right now, we know that we're in Iraq. The world is threatened by the United States being in Iraq. You understand that? And it's because of the fear of losing oil control. Remember, I share with you, it's not a holy war, it's an oil war right now that will lead to a holy one's return. I'm going to repeat that. This is not a holy war, it's an oil war that will lead to the holy one's return. There is fear and confusion is gripping America and many parts of the world because they're in the mode of survival. You know, they're trying to now rescue because they know that there's a loss of oil. First of all, these oil nations cannot provide enough now. So they're more concerned in themselves because of greed. So the prices are going to go higher and higher and higher. Now they've gone to corn. Now ethanol, they're going to try to go to this corn ethanol. First of all, the process of corn ethanol to fill an SUV, you could feed someone for one whole year. Hello. And not only that, it's more damaging than anything of ethanol to the ozone and global warming, what they call. It's more damaging to the Earth's atmosphere than anything we have. But of course, they won't tell you all these things. And because of these things, because now they're all of these farmers and so forth are taking heed and trying to sell the government because now they can make some money. Not much, but they can make some. They're taking all the corn. Now it's depleting and causing a domino effect in the food crisis. Because now it's going to cost more to feed cattle. Now it's going to cost more for corn. You understand? I don't know, this is a domino effect. So food prices have gone up. And some of the disasters that have hit so tremendously globally, there's over 100 million people that are dying because they have no food. And the wealthy keep getting wealthy and the poor keep dying because of greed right now. People are hoarding. Covetousness is overwhelming globally. I mean, there are governments that won't even feed their people. They'd rather have them die than to feed them and maintain their military because their purpose and function is to rule the world. You understand this? It's to what? Rule the world. So who's behind them? Satan's kingdom. Is everybody okay? Go to Luke 21. The purpose of what's happening right now, all right, because there's manipulation, and the purpose of this manipulation with this war oil storm is to fall eventually into the place of one world order. Okay, everything is leading up to this process right now. Are you hearing? This crisis will not stop. Gas prices will go up. They'll fluctuate up, down, up, down, up, down, but there will be no cure to it. Are you hearing me? So, you know, we as wise virgins have to use wisdom. I'm not telling you to go out and spend all your money and store up your houses with all kinds of food or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But use wisdom. I believe that we are in the area of the days of Joseph when Pharaoh shared with him about the famine. And he said, listen, I want you to begin to store a little bit of this. They were doing one-fifth of everything of their flock, of their harvest for 7 years. Now, I wouldn't be right if I share with you, yes, God provides everything, but he tells us to be wise, doesn't he? And there's nothing wrong with putting $10 worth of canned goods away every once in a while. You know, you understand? So why? So you can utilize the pricing now compared to what it's going to be. Because prices of food are going to rise. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be all kinds of things that are happening. Gas prices are going to go outrageous. And it's all the purpose is the manipulation to lead into the one world order. See, so much right now, so many people are so dependent on government to support them. And it's been such a downfall. And government is still trying to now rule. See, they used to back off of things. Now they're stepping into more and more and more and more and rescue places and putting out all kinds of billions of dollars to rescue businesses and instead of feeding people, they're trying to rescue businesses, thinking that's going to help, but it's not. It's like trying to give money to a drug addict and say, you'll be all right. It ain't going to work. So the government is infiltrating more and more and more, and they don't even know what they're doing. They're more confused than anybody. Are you with me? And Luke 21. Is everybody there? So I want to give you an idea of where we're headed here because of why the oil storm is here. Its purpose is to manipulate globally into one world order. Are you hearing? Okay. And Luke 21 in verse 29. 21, 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. The fig tree represents Israel. And all the trees, nations. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So what's he saying? He's saying, first of all, Israel must become a nation. And we already know that. So things are falling into place. Israel becomes a nation in 1948. Jerusalem becomes its capital in 1967. Are you hearing? Okay, so these are things that are coming to this event. Go to Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 39. Let's go to verse 27. It says, when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord. So what's he doing? The gathering had to come. And the gathering has been going on for years. The Berlin Wall came down. Many Russian Jews are coming home from all over the world. Millions of people, of Jews from all over, are headed home to Israel. Are you hearing? That's the gathering. Now, this is very powerful. I want you to go to Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27. Look at this. It says something very powerful here in this one verse. I'm going to use verse 6. It says, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob, which is Israel. Israel shall what? Blossom in bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. This is happening. Israel produces 70% of grapefruit that's produced in the global world. 70%. It's now turned a desert into a fruitful land because God revealed to them about irrigation. Israel is no longer a desert. It's a fruitful land producing fruits, grapes, pomegranates, all kinds of stuff. It's one of the largest producing nations of produce in the world. Are you hearing me? And these things had to come to pass. It also sits on rich oil supplies that have been hidden. It's not only producing 50,000 barrels a day, but there are sources saying that there is so much oil in Israel that they've not tapped into. Hello? Sounds like God to me. Now go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. In verse 18. And it will come to pass at that same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Gog and Magog are a representation of Russia. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains will be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for the sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Does everybody see this? So I want you to see that it talks about Russia is going to attack Israel. We'll talk a little bit about this. Now, first of all, go to Daniel 11, I'm sorry, I think it's verse 40. Daniel 11 and verse 40. So Gog and Magog is a representation of Russia. Daniel 11 and verse 40. At the time of the end of the king of the south shall attack him. The king of the south is a representation of Arab and African confederacy. There will be 10 kingdoms that Daniel talks about. In fact, one of the kingdoms will be United States, Mexico, and Canada, which will be the Northern American Union. Are you hearing? Okay. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots. Now, the king of the north is a representation of Russia and their confederates. Horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and prominent people of Ammon. So I want you to see here that Russia is going to attack Israel. Now, most likely, we know right now that those nations that are saying that they're building nuclear facilities for nuclear engine or energy are manifesting nuclear weapons. Now, Israel already attacked Iran once and shut them down. And they're about to attack them again. Most likely, Israel will attack Iran, and eventually Russia will attack Israel. Are you hearing? Now, you have to understand, why would Russia consider also attacking Israel? First of all, Russia's purpose is to globally control the world. Russia's behind terrorism. They are the major promoters of it. They provide weapons and all kinds of things, even to Al-Qaeda. Russia is the main purpose and focus because Russia wants to control the oil. That's why they provide Iran with weapons. Are you hearing? Iraq, that's all we found there, was Soviet weapons. Of course, they keep missing nuclear stuff and whatever, you know. And we know Iran is building nuclear weapons. And Israel is going to eventually attack Iran and destroy their nuclear facility. Now, because of Russia's circumstance and economics, not only do they want oil control, but they want food control. So they will attack Israel to take the land. Are you hearing? To take the land for food and establish a position to control oil in the Middle East. You got to remember, Russia is still the number one largest military in the world. They're bigger than the United States. But wisdom wins the war, not power. Wisdom wins the war, not power. So we know that Israel has got a rich food source, and it's got an oil source, and it's a perfect position for control of oil in the Middle East. So I want you to begin to see these things. Okay, so why is all this happening? That's why we're in an oil storm, because the fight is over oil, naturally. And it's all leading up to this, of what's going on. And the pouring out of God's presence and the pouring out of His oil will continue. And the problem and the circumstance globally and naturally will be oil all the way. Are you hearing? Okay. Now turn to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. In verse 27. Now let's go to verse 26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come. Who's the prince to come? Satan. He's the prince of power of air. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a what? Covenant with many for what? 1 week. 1 week is 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of abominations shall be one who makes a desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Now understand, so here Satan's going to show up. Now listen, what I believe is going to happen is Israel will attack Iran, all right? This is going to cause a problem. Russia may attack right away. Hello? Or somebody's going to step in to stop the war and do a 7-year treaty. Are you hearing? And it'll be a 7-year treaty. It'll be done by the Antichrist. It doesn't matter who does the treaty. It'll be the spirit of Antichrist that does it to fulfill prophecy. I don't care if it's the Pope. Hello? It don't matter who's doing it. I don't believe it's going to actually be the person. And it's possibly it can, but I don't believe it's going to be the person. But it will be the spirit of Antichrist that will sign a 7-year treaty. So what am I sharing with you? You must focus and keep an eye out and ear out about the next thing, the next event, which is a 7-year treaty. Because all of this oil storm is leading to the 7-year treaty. There's got to be some kind of fight. There's got to be some kind of war that will break out. Something's going to happen where somebody's got to step in for the 7-year treaty. Are you hearing? Okay? Good. Go to Daniel 11:24. I'll go to 22. I'll explain a little bit more. With the force of the flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a smaller number of people. He shall enter peaceably and even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with every great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Now, I want you to understand that he's going to enter in. And when he enters in, it's going to be deceitful. There's going to be a false peace, and there'll be a false prosperity. There's going to be promises of all kinds of things that are going to happen when he takes over in the 7-year treaty. And people are going to be delusionized. He's going to deceive many with promises of peace, socialism, and wealth. Why? Because it says he's going to disperse wealth and all kinds. He's going to make it to where, okay, yeah, let's all, we can all have, now have, you don't have to pay for a doctor anymore. You don't have to do, of course, he's going to kill everybody in that area. You won't need no more doctors. Just step over here. Zip, you know. And one of the things the Lord put on my heart years ago was when the Antichrist took over, literally takes over in mid-tribulation and expresses himself, first places he's going to get rid of is the prisons, because people are in captivity. He'll kill them all. Those who are in hospitals and the elderly sick. He'll wipe those out. Okay, is everybody okay? 1 Thessalonians 5. We're almost done. One more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. Start at verse 1. Everybody's all right. You getting this? Okay, the importance of knowing why the war over oil. We are in an oil storm, which is leading up to all of these events that's coming. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say what? Peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall what? Not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And that's why you're being expressed this right now. Okay? Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So when they say peace, peace, and all of a sudden what? Sudden destruction. It'll be like a rug pulled from underneath them. They'll think everything's falling in order, and all right, something finally they got it together. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about paying doctors. We don't have to worry about this anymore. Somebody's finally got it together. We got one currency. Yes, let's do global. Let's do one order, one global government. I'm for that. Yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, one doctor for the world, one president for the world, one pope for the world. And they'll all end up on a rope. Hello. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's called 666, to let you know. That's what the number is. The number 6 means man. It'll be the economic, it'll be the government, and it'll be a religion. There'll be one world religion, one world government, and one world economy. 666. That's what it means. Are you understanding? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's start from the beginning. Let's read it. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawless is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. He is Holy Spirit, the oil. So once the holy oil is removed, are you hearing? All hell will break out. And then the lawless one will be revealed, verse 8, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So you got to understand something. When they reject the Lord, the Lord's going to send them delusion to believe the lie, and they will go to hell. So there will be a time when God says, enough is enough. That they might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the what? By the oil. Do you see this? By the Spirit. And belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless.